Blog Talk Radio.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
We will lie to go to war.
We can continue to where we've been going, accumulate more and more big government, assume that the people won't take care of themselves, but it's coming to an end.
Always remember, dissension's the greatest form of patriotism. Thomas Jefferson said that.
Please don't obey authority until you thought it out and then you decided about it.
If you're seeing everything you see, you think you're not deceived. Now you say you have the will to speak, but you're not saying anything.
And now, coming to you live from the world famous albino raccoon recording studio, it's the Last Voice for Liberty Network, and here is your host, The Mouth.
Greetings and salutations out there to all my fellow patriots. For once again, it is time. The Last Voice for Liberty back here on the air. I am, of course, your host, The Mouth, laughing and scratching at you, folks. We are back here coming at you once again live from that lovely little place, the Albino Raccoon Recording Studio.
Deep inside the lower intestine of a sperm whale.
Oh, God! God! I can't stand it! Make the pain stop!
Hey, folks, it's a big week around here for Truth Emerges, NWO, the Coalition, all week long. I'm sure you can't ignore the 800-pound gorilla in the room. We know it's coming up on Thursday, the anniversary of 9/11, the single greatest attack on American soil since Pearl Harbor. Now, while there's all sorts of everybody's got their opinions and everybody's got their experiences that they've had with what happened, where they were on 9/11 and how they were going, you know, what they were doing, how it affected them. And we're going to talk a lot tonight about how not only 9/11 has affected the world in general, but each and every individual's life in this country. We've got a lot of things to cover tonight. I'm going to kick things off tonight with a few sound clips here. We're going to play the first one's about both of them just about 8 minutes long, but I think they're going to bear some information out there that we really need to get discussed tonight. We're going to kick this first one off with, you guessed it, the body right here, and we'll be right back on The Last Voice for Liberty.
Well, I think the most interesting thing to talk about today is if people aren't aware that due to the Freedom of Information Act. In the early 60s, the Pentagon had an operation called Operation Northwoods, and it never came to reality, but it was on the table that our military would attack certain cities within the United States and make it look like Cuba did it to justify an invasion of Cuba. It never happened, but just the simple fact that they contemplated it and it was actually on the table in the Pentagon, I find that just very disturbing, that they would, you know, even consider using our military to try to justify an invasion of another country.
They did speak on Jay Leno, according to my recollection, about how Gulf of Tonkin was staged, how you were lied to, we were lied to, you lost a lot of friends. What was it like to learn that they had staged an event that didn't really happen to bring us into full-scale war in 64? What was it like when you realized that and you learned that?
Well, it was very disappointing to believe in your country that they would lie to you to get into a war, that they would perpetrate a lie and that the media would go along with it. It's a real eye-opener, and you realize that if they would do it in the 60s, they'll do it again. If it works once, it'll work again. Government very much operates that way. And I really learned about it when McNamara did his tour with film and he came to Harvard when I was teaching there. And they pretty much had to lock me up in a room so that I wouldn't confront him. And
what would you say to him if you were in a room with him?
I would ask him why we were lied to and what the purpose was for it. The one thing I do question on 9/11 is the fact that if anyone's familiar with the Payne Stewart, the golfer, and when he died, he was flying in a private plane, and they lost contact with that private plane out of Florida, and within 30 minutes they had a fighter jet up on the wing. And that fighter stayed with it all the way till it crashed in Nebraska, making sure that it didn't harm anyone. And the thing I questioned on 9/11 was simply the fact, where were our planes? When all of this was going on and planes were being hijacked an hour apart, and there were four of them to cover about a six-hour space, at no time, to my knowledge, did we have any fighter planes up in the air. Why?
Well, the default position is to send up fighters.
Right. Why weren't they? In light of the fact that there was a cover-up that got us into the Vietnam War, and there was, in my opinion, a cover-up of John Kennedy's assassination, I would just say that I don't believe it's beyond reason to not at least consider that the government certainly would do things like that.
You're here, you know about Tonkin, you know about Northwoods, you know about...
Well, I know about those things from reading on Kennedy, is how most of them came out.
Kennedy said no to Northwoods.
Through my research of Kennedy is how I learned of most of these things. Yeah, I question it only because of the Payne Stewart situation.
And Northwoods.
But as far as me having any knowledge that we were lied to, I don't. As far as JFK goes, well, I've been studying that for 25 years or 20 years, I guess, or more now, and I don't believe for one minute the Warren Commission. I think that it's fraudulent in the fact that if you break it down to simplistic form, if Lee Harvey Oswald is who they told us he was, this little disgruntled Marine who became a communist and decided to kill the president, then why would all the information have to be locked up in national security and kept secret for 20 years?
Well, sir, you were a Navy SEAL. Three shots in 6 seconds with a bolt-action rifle, you're not going to hit the side of a barn.
I don't believe he could make the shot.
Can you speak to that?
As far as the shots he did, three of them, and the magic bullet and the headshot, I've been to Dealey Plaza, and I don't think he could make the shots, in my opinion, because it was a difficult shot with a target going away from you and dropping, and not only that, he had to shoot through a tree. If you go up to the nest, you look and see this massive tree, and it's the same size today as it was back in 1963.
I don't buy the Warren Commission. I don't buy what their results. I don't buy that they deemed Oswald the killer, and one of the main reasons is because in our country, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Lee Harvey Oswald has never been offered a trial in a court of law to determine whether he was guilty or innocent or not. He never got that. He's been convicted by public opinion and convicted by our government.
In absentia.
Right. And the point of the matter is that that's unfair, that history should be documented that way when there's no definitive evidence that he did it, in my opinion.
We're told to give up liberty, we'll get security. We give up liberty, do we get security?
No. And I think that's very clear. Anyone that believes that is naive, because I think it was made very clear in the hurricane in New Orleans. They had 2 weeks to prepare for that and couldn't save anybody. How are they going to save you from a terrorist attack that doesn't tell you when it's going to happen?
Absolutely.
So I don't buy that we're any more safe today than we were prior to 9/11, because hurricane in New Orleans proved that to me.
They can't and they won't help us. In fact, they didn't come with food and water. They came to confiscate guns.
In New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
No, I wouldn't doubt it.
Have you seen that footage of the troops taking
it? It was also, I found very interesting, that Richard Nixon had the 82nd Airborne in there when the hurricane hit back in the 70s within 24 hours. And yet this president didn't do a thing for 8 days, before he reacted and sent troops in there. And for people that say that, well, you can't blame President Bush, yes, I fully blame him for the hurricane. And you know why? Because it covered more than one state. Anytime any tragedy like that encompasses more than one state, it immediately falls to federal jurisdiction. The other reason I blame George Bush for the hurricane and what happened afterwards is because the only people in our country capable logistically of handling a tragedy like that is the U.S. military. They're the only ones that logistically have the equipment to do it. It's just the fact that there were, that the military is the only one capable of handling that type of disaster And so they should have been called in immediately, and they weren't. So that tells me that the country can't protect you. You have to protect yourself.
Your whole comment on how 9/11 has been used to set up I believe it's a police state. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't know if it's a police state or not, the whole war on terrorism, but I do know that anytime the government tells you they're going to protect you, be prepared because you're going to lose your freedom and your rights. And I personally, my personal viewpoint is I'd rather deal with the terrorists than I would the loss of my freedom. And I think that ultimately, I hate to say this, we're winning on the battlefield, but I think the terrorists are winning the war because they're changing America. These were also the same people that told us there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So take it with the grain of salt. They were wrong once. They could be wrong again.
You think they're wrong or that they're lying premeditatedly?
I don't know. I don't have that opinion.
I mean, they
deliver the information. It's how the information's interpreted. You can interpret information any way you want.
And that was always an interesting little interview right there from two of the bigger names, you know, old Panic Attack Jones and the Body Jesse Ventura, you know. But he brought up a lot of interesting points, and I liked that I played that because, well, I knew it was going to hit the Chuck Ocelli button, and lo and behold, here he is with his hand up, and we're going to bring him in to join the discussion. Chuck, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing all right, Lee. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man, hanging in there.
You know, it is interesting. I know we got Panic Attack Jones and we got Jesse the Body and all that. And this was an interview that that for a long time I saw, you know, spread around. And I got to say that, you know, it's one of those things, man. It's one of those things where, you know, Jesse's got part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Panic Attack's got part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's just, it never quite hits the nail on the head, does it?
No, it doesn't. But you know, I will say it in its defense that it gets you looking. I mean, it got me looking into what they were talking about. And, yeah, you're right. They don't have every piece of the puzzle right there. But it got me looking enough to where I could start to figure it out, you know?
Well, see, that's why I had mixed feelings about a lot of the stuff that Jesse did with that whole conspiracy theory show that he was doing. I don't know if you
mm-hmm.
watched it any.
Yeah, I did.
You know, I mean, pretty interesting episodes on the Pentagon. Okay, that was a good show, mm-hmm. I thought. A little messy on the Twin Towers episode, in my opinion. You know, the Balloon story, it has its holes in it, man. I mean, you know, but...
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, I'm going to say something about the JFK episode. You know, quite awful in a lot of respects, honestly. But at the same time, it does serve to do the one thing, which is something that a lot of us want to see, which is the more mainstream outlets giving airtime to the possibility that the official story is wrong, one way or another. So if it got you thinking, you know what, then great, I applaud it. But for those that, you know, cling to this and think that, you know, that this is where the definitive answers come from, I mean, as far as the Katrina situation, there was a lot of things that went wrong there.
That was a cluster.
Yeah, man. And to simply point at, you know, the Bush administration exclusively on that one, you know, as much as I love to hang stuff around the Bush crime syndicate's, you know, neck, again, mm-hmm. you can't give it all to them because there was a lot of cluster Fs on the ground, as you were saying. You know,
mm-hmm.
there was the whole thing going on with the attempt to control people and to keep them inside of the place that was falling apart. They weren't allowing people to cross bridges when it would have saved their lives. There was, you know, the FEMA debacle in and of itself, which, okay, you could run that one back to, you know, good old W. But again, if you think this guy was in charge of all those different aspects, I don't think this guy could, you know, manage a cup of coffee correctly. So I'm not really worried that he was the mastermind behind all that death and destruction that occurred there. However, there are a whole lot of culpable people that have never been brought to justice for this stuff. Just like 9/11, there are plenty of culpable people that were never brought to justice regarding the JFK assassination, regarding, you know, the wonderful adventure into Iraq where we did not find our weapons of mass destruction, which is true and something that I point out a lot. But, and of course, we're going to do it again. you know, as we're speaking, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what they're aiming for, you know, is we've just got to be in this perpetual war. And it's been stemmed that way ever since, you know, 2001 when this happened. And, you know, so a lot of the points that they brought up in that last clip there were, you know, talking about how these private planes, we can get an F-16. And it just happened recently. A private plane was, you know, flying down the coast and, you know, something went wrong. They had F-16s with them the whole way until the plane crashed. You know, we had no planes anywhere around on 9/11. None?
Yeah, of course. Well, they were all, you know, busy doing exercises elsewhere. Of course, nobody takes a look at the fact that preemptively there were a whole bunch of assets moved from one place to another so that they couldn't be in the proper position. But regardless of that, even if you look at the behavior of somebody like Rumsfeld, who second to the president was basically the head of our military from the civilian command perspective, right? What was his behavior during these attacks? You know, if you look at his own 9/11 testimony, I mean, I brought this up last week because somebody had questioned me about, you know, well, who's really responsible for 9/11? You know, regardless of who you think was piloting whatever it was that happened to slam into, you know, these structures, let's leave that alone for a moment. If you take a look at just the actions of the so-called people that were supposed to be doing the job of defending this country and its property, okay, you know, you got all kinds of culpability right there. Rumsfeld continued to participate in his meetings with the CIA, with other people regarding that lost money that was announced the day before, you know, and all of that stuff all throughout the morning, regardless of the fact that one plane struck a tower, then a second plane struck a tower. This guy continued business as usual. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I don't understand that kind of position of power, but I would think I would cancel meetings if, you know, if two planes had struck, you know, at the heart of the financial center of the country. Okay. And I happen to know for a fact that because I was involved in business that had something to do with this, that, you know, that credit card streams, that financial institutions were all disrupted by these attacks. So I would think that the military might want to get itself involved if this is an aerial attack on these particular assets, which would affect just about everyone in the country in one way or another, especially if it was going to spread further. I mean, we had no idea, supposedly at that point in time, exactly how far this was going to go. You know, I mean, there could have been attacks on both coasts. There could have been attacks throughout the country that were coordinated at that time, even if you assume that the official narrative was correct, right?
That's right. Yeah. I remember that morning, you know, watching it and then, you know, being worried and actually contemplating. I called my wife up that time and was like, should I go get the kids out of school? I mean, this isn't just the happenstance. At first I thought, well, a plane crashed into one of the towers. And then once I watched the second one, I'm like, holy shit, you know, something's not right here. This is, and then they start talking about everything else and, you know, just going crazy like that. And it's put the country in the grip of fear. And if you're absolutely right. I don't understand how our military did nothing, just absolutely nothing that day. It seems like they just kind of went, oh, we're under attack. Okay, let's go back to doing this. Let's go continue doing our training exercises. You know, and the heads of our people in our government were just, it's like they didn't know what to do.
Well, right, and even from the you know, even from the tapes that we've been able to get since then, you know, regarding the crosstalk from the air traffic controllers and et cetera, you know, they were still going live with these exercises at that time. Now, don't you think it would have been? I mean, again, maybe it's just because I'm not a military guy and I'm not an air traffic controller, but don't you think it would have made sense for somebody to pull the plug on those kind of exercises if you had rogue stuff happening? To either, let's just assume an innocent explanation, there might have been a reason to pull the plug if maybe we're doing something here and we are inadvertently causing this. Maybe this is an air traffic control failure. You know, that's assuming that they have no idea where the attack is coming from, mind you. Okay. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you think that would be one of the first things they would do is terminate that kind of stuff?
Yeah. It's like, uh-oh, no more reindeer games. We got work to do.
Yep. Right.
So here they are, just hanging out. No, let's finish up our training exercises. Not, my goodness, the country's under attack. It's either, A, they were deliberately not informed about it, you know, which could be a possibility, or B, you know, they were in on it, which is another possibility, or, you know, C, well, really, there is no C.
No,
it's either,
well, there
A,
is a C.
They weren't told about it, or B, they were in on it.
No, there is a C, though, Lee, and you'll agree with me when I say this. Incompetence, actual incompetence. That may have happened.
That's pretty big incompetence. I mean, really. That's being kind of generous, because I don't see how you get to be in that position and you are that incompetent. That's ridiculous.
I don't buy that. Look, I'm just allowing it as, you know, as a possibility. I mean, there is also a possibility.
Well, okay, I'll agree with you.
You know, you could walk in between raindrops to get into your house and not get wet on a rainy day. That's a possibility. It is highly, highly, highly unlikely, but it is a possibility, right?
Yeah, you got it. That's for sure. That's for sure. It is a possibility.
This is why I say stuff like this, man. You got to excuse me. Occasionally, it's a little bit of a, you know, it's not quite the quick jab at the smart-ass thing. Occasionally, I take a little walk around the block before I jab at it.
Oh, that's all right.
but this is exactly the kind of stuff, and I mean, this is the week for it, to really examine what actually happened without the emotion of understanding, actually without getting embroiled in the emotion of being and feeling as though you're victimized, without allowing that fear-based programming to actually take over. If you really sit back and look at this logically, you know, how it is that anybody can say anything other than, 9/11 was an absolute inside job.
Inside traders, you look at all the other things that were going, inside traders knew a lot about it before, knew about the attacks before they happened. You know, they're putting options, placing them on United Airlines and American Airlines stocks, and people are clearing out their cash left and right. You know, our air defense, like we were talking about, was told to stand down. The actual planes hitting the buildings and being the cause of the buildings to collapse is suspect at the very least. I mean, for some reason, I'm just not buying that this aluminum plane, you know, crashed in there, and the jet fuel, which does not burn hot enough to melt steel, all of a sudden melted steel. I just I can't buy it.
You know, it weakened the steel, you know. And let's not forget, you know, Building 7, of course.
Oh, yes.
Which collapsed, and everybody says, well, you know, it collapsed. It was a fair distance away, and, you know, there was ejected pieces from. You know what the problem is, and I never hear this mentioned, and the only reason why I say this is because, see, I have actually set foot in that complex before it was destroyed. I don't know the name of the building necessarily, but I do know where Building 7 was, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there is another building entirely which should have shielded the trajectory from either one of the towers
mm-hmm.
to Building 7. So anything that was ejected on a lower sort of, you know, like the small stuff that would have ejected after the pancake effect happened, and you see the stuff being ejected from the lower part of the building, and there was debris ejected. That's
mm-hmm.
true. But for the most part, there was another building there which interceded the trajectory from the towers to Building 7. So not only was it not directly uncovered and fully, you know, exposed to be hit by the debris, okay, which shouldn't have caused, you know, the massive fires that caused the catastrophic failure of the structure, but
no.
The problem is that there was another building that didn't collapse, which was in the way.
Amazing, isn't it?
And if you don't believe me, pull up a map of the World Trade Center complex looked like in 2001. Take a look at it. Take a look at where the two towers were and explain to me how, and I don't know which building it is, but I'm not even looking at this, Lee. I'm telling you from my
mm-hmm.
own experience, I guarantee you there is a building which would shield either completely or mostly, one or the other, the entire possibility of that debris striking Building 7.
Yep, I've seen it. I totally agree with you, buddy. I've seen that map as well. Then I've had people tell me that it was a structural fire in Building 7. Here's the thing, kids. What was in Building 7? Just why and how, number one, if it couldn't have been debris, obviously, since there was another building in the way, how, number one, would it burn down and how by fire? It's a steel building encased in brick. I'm sorry. You can't explain that to me. No one has been able to explain that to me. Unless it was purposefully pulled and demolished for a reason. Because was in that building?
Back
around to Rumsfeld and the missing money.
Well, before we get to the tenants of Building 7, before we even get to there, Lee, I mean, obviously this must have happened in the past, right? There must have been steel-framed, concrete-reinforced buildings that collapsed due to fire in the past, wasn't there?
No. That's the kicker, kids.
No. There've actually been three buildings, though, that did collapse due to fire, allegedly.
Yeah.
Where are they?
They just happen to be in the World Trade Center complex.
Oh.
The only ones in the history of mankind collapsing due to fire.
Hmm. Nobody finds that curious.
I'm telling you. I had one guy tell me once, plastic and, garbage things and lots of office things are made of plastic, and plastic's made of oil, so it burned hot enough to bring the buildings down. And I was like, are you kidding me? What? You've got to be kidding.
Well,
that was his whole theory.
Pour your boiling oil on some, steel girders and tell me how well you do.
Yeah. Just let me know how that works out.
Let me know how that works out.
Well, and then you watch the actual collapse itself, and you see 20 and 30 stories below ejections coming out from the buildings, just like similarly they would in a demolition factor. You don't sit here and tell me that, 20, 30 stories below, it's going to push debris out of that window and not all the rest of them above it, as the pancake effect. They say, well, the pressure it exerts and does that, Okay, 20, 30 stories below where the actual wave is coming down? I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. Those were clearly demolition explosions, man. This whole building was brought down. All these buildings were brought down on purpose.
Well, right, and people like to point to it and say, well, it's the cumulative effect of weight coming down on, and this has always been the argument. I've actually heard even debates among engineers about this. And that's all fine and dandy. There's a cumulative effect from the additional weight and the weight increasing as the as the structure collapses in this way. I understand that, but that is completely discounting the physical reality of the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there were undamaged floors. What about those?
Yep.
You still see virtually no resistance when these things drop. Now, they don't fall at exactly free fall speed. I understand that from a scientific standpoint. They fall at about 66% of what would be free fall speed. So these were not perfectly engineered controlled demolitions.
Not perfectly, but I think they were. I think demolitions were installed on some of those floors.
In one way or another, yeah. I don't see how you could see otherwise.
I don't think that they would put it on every floor, like they would do in a strictly well-done, controlled demolition. But I think, I think they were put on some of the floors that were where you were seeing those explosions coming out.
All right. And, and another thing is because of the asymmetrical damage from the airplanes. Let's just assume that these are exactly the airplanes and they didn't have anything else on them. Let's just assume that that's possible. I'm not saying it is, but let's just assume for a moment. Asymmetrical damage to a symmetrical structure is going to cause what kind of a collapse?
It would tip.
It would tip. Now, the one building did tip temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
But two out of three didn't tip at all, did they?
No. And that's the thing. You know, if you're getting damaged and just, and people are saying, well, it exploded. It went through one side, one of them exploded out the other. It didn't hit the corners. You know, I don't know how much people know about, you know, these buildings as they build them, but the outside corners and the frame out there is pretty much the entire load bearing. I mean, they have the support columns inside the middle, you know, to help keep the building all the way upright and all that other fun stuff. But if you want to take down a building, fly the plane into the corner.
Well, another,
if you take out one corner and three of them, that's going to go bling. You're going to cause a big bunch of damage. It will tip. And that plane, the body of that plane, suppose it was, like you said, just the regular plane, not loaded up with anything else, which is another theory that's put out there that I could buy into, because if that's what's going to take, it's going to take a hell of a lot more than just the weight of passengers and luggage inside this aluminum plane to, you know, cause that type of catastrophic damage. But like I said, man, it should have tipped, but it didn't.
Well, right, and even if you have the failure of the you know, of the corners like you're talking about, there is a large core section, the core columns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that they were completely severed and failed from jet fuel. It doesn't make sense. There's the bank of elevators, which is contained in that core as well. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and believe it, you can look up these. You can look up the specs, and in fact, you can find film of them building this stuff step by step if you want. Not a problem. It was only completed in, what, 70, well, depending on which tower we're talking about, you know, I think the latest completion date was 1971. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
So, I'm thinking it's around there somewhere.
It's near there. So I guarantee you there's plenty of film of the construction in progress. Okay, so you can see how this stuff was built. It wasn't built with a simple sort of idea. It was built actually to withstand certain things. You know how they talk about it withstanding the hit from a 707?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason for that. These buildings were meant to withstand a great deal. They actually build them with a little bit of a move in them. I don't know how many high-rise buildings you've been in, Lee, but if
they
you're
sway.
Fully aware, they sway a bit. They're designed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this also means that when you design it to do so, it doesn't mean that you just make it flexible and say to hell with it. If the wind blows, the wind blows. There is an entire system of engineering that goes into that, which allows the load to shift. It doesn't allow things to be breaking when it's bending back and forth or anything else. It's not because it's made simply of physical, you know, of flimsy stuff that is flexible. Okay, so. These buildings, again, were engineered about as well as you could engineer a building. There is no reason for this. Okay?
No.
Because even if you said, look, maybe it was just poorly done. You know, they used cheap materials. This stuff, you know, it all crushed into dust because it was all a bunch of plaster instead of cement. You know, I've heard
yeah.
all these
things. That's a rich one. There.
And, yeah, but you can watch them. You can watch them pour the concrete. I'm telling you now, there's film out there of
yep.
them documenting building these buildings floor by floor, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something that should have ever came apart the way it did, unless what? It was intentionally done.
Yep. And that's the reality of it. And what I really want is you know, why can't we have these people brought to justice? It's obvious that it was an inside store, an inside job. It's obvious that it was set up. A perfect shit storm like this does not come together in this world. It just doesn't happen unless you plan it that way. Okay, it's not like this is far from coincidence. You know, and then the flimsy evidence they come up with in the aftermath. You know, it was these 19 hijackers with box cutters. Yeah. And the whole, and then you've got not only that, but folks, but we haven't even got to the Pentagon yet.
Oh, yeah, well, a whole other story. But, you know, before we exit New York City for a moment, you know, you bring up a good point here. Why is it that we don't see people being brought to justice? You know what? I'm going to lay part of the blame, though, on some of the people that call themselves 9/11 truthers. Now, I know that's going to be a rough kind of topic to pull through, but bear with me a second. The problem is that we are so busy squabbling amongst ourselves, okay? We are so busy pointing the fingers at the easy-to-identify public figures,
mm-hmm.
okay, that we are not looking into the true mechanics of what went into this. This is not being done by everyone. I'm not saying that 100% of the truth movement is about this stuff, but a lot of them are latching on to things that just seem plausible, that seem to, you know, bring up the usual suspects. And believe me, like I say many, many times, I am more than happy to blame the Bush Crime Syndicate for a whole lot of things. And believe me, if there is, you know, tribunals in hell, these people should be there at least for the next 10,000 years busy with paperwork, okay?
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. That is for sure.
But to say that, you know, George W. Bush is directly, there is a whole lot of other people that could be brought to justice that had their hands directly on things where Bush mm-hmm. was, just like we all know, sitting in Florida, out of the loop, really. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a minute. Okay, maybe it's, you know, plausible deniability. I'm nowhere near the situation. That's fine. But look at the behavior of the rest of the people. Like I said, Rumsfeld is a very good example. You know, you mean to tell me that during that attack, even if you take the official story that this is what he should have been doing, that is suspect. You take a look at the behavior of the people in New York City at that time. Also kind of a controversial topic, but Rudy Giuliani, Bernard Kirk.
Yep.
Who would have been better? And by the way, let's not forget it was the NYPD who discovered that completely unscathed passport on the ground there, too. Let's not forget that as well. So, you know, gee, for those of us that think that that was planted evidence, well, who would plant evidence exactly other than the people that are in charge of the event or the people that are working for the people in charge of the event?
That's right.
Ask yourselves that question. But do you hear anybody focusing on this?
No, that's the thing, you know, is people aren't we're not focusing because we, like you said, we squabble and fight amongst each other like a dang old fool, you know, and we've got some of these people out there that are just, you're like you said, man, latching onto these stories and then calling them the gospel, and then we're just going to throw the blame game on the biggest public figure we can find and call it good. You know, no. It goes much deeper. It's much worse than that. We need to understand that none of us really have the answers, none of the total answers. We got to make sure that we're all still asking questions about this. I don't profess to know anything about what has gone on at 9/11 and what actually went into it, other than I do know it has to be an inside job. All signs point to yes. You know, you don't even have to shake a magic eight ball for this shit. I mean, you really got to look at the intricacies, and then we can really start looking at who's needs to be brought to justice over this.
Well, yeah, exactly. And look, why do I make this statement about all of us squabbling amongst each other and everything else? And I'm not even deep into this, you know, as I have been into other subjects. You know, I mean, I have gone into it fairly more in depth, I would say, than a lot of other people that proclaim to speak about it. But I don't call myself a 9/11 expert. I'll tell you this, though. After swimming through the JFK research community for a long time,
mm-hmm.
Guess what illness that suffers from? The same thing. There is too much squabbling, too much ego involved, too much pointing to these usual suspects, too much pointing to the easy out when it regards characters of nefarious purpose. You know, there is way too much of it, and this is what goes on, and this is why 50 years later, we still don't have anybody outside of, you know, what, Jim Garrison in 1968 and 69 trying to bring Clay Shaw to trial. Outside of that, have we had an action here? Have we had somebody introduce something into a grand jury regarding this conspiracy? No, we have not. Now, this is a larger conspiracy. This did a lot more damage. Let's be honest. The 9/11 event did a whole lot more damage, mm-hmm. you know, as regards our current world. Although I do always state that the damage from the JFK assassination is something that is residual and continuous to this day. But even so, We have not even seen the extent of the damage from 9/11 yet. It is still cooking. Okay.
It is.
But the thing is, 50 years later, tons of research has gone into that, and we still have no justice, do we?
No. None. So, and what, they scooped off half the evidence, you know, and then when it's getting scientifically proven, you know, that, hey, this can't really happen that way, you know, this, and people still keep arguing with it, we're never going to get justice with it. I mean, they look at us like, you 9/11 truthers, like we're the worst people in the world. Like, we have no respect for the dead, and you should just never talk about it again. Don't say anything about the government being involved. That's just horrible. Why would you even think that? Put on your tinfoil hat and walk away. It's like, wait a minute. No, I kind of, like, look at reality here and know a little bit about physics and a little bit about, you know, what should be going on when situations like this happen. And this ain't adding up. I'm sorry. You can't tell me 2 and 2 makes 5. It don't work that way. I don't give a crap what Common Core pathway you take. It still ain't going to work.
Yeah, even with the new math, it's not happening, baby. Look, you know, this is what the trouble is, though, is that, you know, we're pushed with this narrative of you're being disrespectful to the dead, et cetera, quite on the contrary, actually. Mm-hmm. I would like to see justice done for those that die. Not only that, but I would like to see the policies reversed that have caused others to die. I would like to see the policies reversed that were done on the coattails of this situation that have robbed us of our liberties even more than we were already robbed of our liberties. It gave them carte blanche to pass the NDAA. It gave them carte blanche for Patriot Act 1 and 2. It gave them carte blanche for, of course, the NSA is spying on everything you do. What, are you kidding me? Of course, we need to do that.
We have to find
safe.
The terrorists. Mm. We got to keep you safe. And we've just like lemmings. Okay. Don't want no terrorists getting me. Okay. And they send our armies off, and we kill, you know, 3/4 of the people of a country, and they go, oh well, we should be able to bring them home. Nope, there's a new terrorist cell over here. And we're funding them and training them. It's been a cycle of bullshit ever since 2001. We've been robbed of our liberties, robbed of our freedoms. Our constitutional rights have been infringed upon. I call them constitutional rights when they're enumerated in the Constitution. Our entire Constitution has just been basically passed around Washington, D.C. and used for toilet paper. Which is why I begin to find it really frustrates me how no one has seen it happening, or why there's so few people out there that are trying to get this message out, and everyone else is looking down upon them like they're the worst pieces of shit on the earth, and we're just trying to help them. You know, it's how can you not see what they have done? How can you not see what the cause and then the effect is? I mean, they still teach that in schools, I think.
Oh, cause and effect? You mean, you know, every action, you know, gets an equal and opposite reaction,
reaction,
all that kind of stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that from somewhere.
It's frustrating as hell. It really is.
It is truly frustrating, and on the one hand, we do have a lot of people that are becoming aware that something is wrong, with the story, that something may be wrong, decides to tell us, you know, again, another commission that decides to tell us that, you know, this is the way it is, but only if we all unanimously vote that it is the way it is. You know, that's the only way that'll come out. And, of course, dissenting members from their commission resigning and everything else, just like other ones I've heard of. I don't know.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, amazing. Warren Commission, 9/11 Commission. Anyway, and of course, they were going to head that up to start with a wonderful, truthful, absolutely, you know, what poignant individual like Kissinger, was it? Wasn't he the first guy that they were passing around to...
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That's not suspect at all.
He's got a new book out.
Does he really?
It's called The New Order.
Oh.
Surprise, surprise.
Hmm. That sounds familiar, too. Oh,
yep.
Boy. And, you know, meanwhile, you didn't even get into the Pentagon or, you know, God help us all, Lee, Shanksville.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Now, well, I have not done as much research on the Shanksville. I have done quite a bit of research on the Pentagon, and that don't add up for shit. No, I'm sorry.
Well,
you can't anybody tell me that a damn 757 flew into that building?
Well, yeah, but Lee, the taxi driver got clipped with the light pole that fell down, you know, while the plane was approaching, didn't it?
No.
You know, doing something that's basically aerodynamically impossible for that type of craft to achieve. I mean, am I imagining that? You still with me?
Okay, I'm back.
Am I there with you?
Yep, I think I got you there. They kicked me off the internet, just kicked out, just out of nowhere.
Oh, wow, okay, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know if I was still going here because I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I was hoping you were still going because I could not get back online. And my modem just kicked itself back in, and I have to throw a fit to these people. No, I'm getting sick of this. This is ridiculous. Either that or we were hitting on a touchy subject there, you know what I mean?
Well, that does happen when I start talking about the Pentagon, Lee. I got to be honest with you. Usually my Skype kills me. But somehow I maintained a connection to your show where you weren't.
Yeah, that's absolutely lovely of them to do that. No, I don't know where you're talking at. If we're still... Maybe we should just go ahead and take a friggin' break here and let me get my bearings back on. So we'll discuss the Pentagon here in just a few minutes. I've got another clip here I wanted to play that kind of lays a little bit more of the stuff out. And then I'll get here in just a few minutes. Sound good to you?
Sounds great, man.
All right, bud. We'll be back here on The Last Voice for Liberty.
And you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to wonder exactly what President George W. Bush knew about the attacks and when he knew it. According to the official White House version, it was at this moment in a Florida classroom that Bush learned the second plane had hit the World Trade Center and that the U.S. was under attack. But here's what George Bush himself said almost 3 months later when asked about September 11th.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot, and I said it must have been a horrible accident, but I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it.
Now wait a minute. George Bush was told about the second plane while he was inside the classroom, so you just heard him describe seeing the first plane crash on television that day. But that's impossible. No one saw the first plane crash on TV on September the 11th because the videotape of it didn't surface until the next day. So how could George Bush have seen what he said he saw?
Do you still think the jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? In all the videos of the collapses, explosions can be seen bursting from the building 20 to 30 stories below the demolition wave. You're probably asking, if there were bombs in the building, how would they get in there without anyone noticing? Ben Fountain, a financial analyst who worked in the World Trade Center, told People magazine that in the weeks before 9/11, there were a number of unannounced and unusual drills where sections of both the Twin Towers and Building 7 were evacuated for security reasons. Daria Cord, a guard in the North Tower, told Newsday that security detail was working 12-hour shifts for 2 weeks before 9/11, but on Thursday the 6th, bomb-sniffing dogs were abruptly removed from the building. So who authorized all this? President Bush's brother, Marvin, was board of directors at Securicom from 1993 until fiscal year 2000. Securicom, now known as Stratasec, is an electronic security company backed by Kuwait American Corporation, which provided security for United Airlines, Dulles International Airport, and from the early 1990s up to the day of 9/11, the World Trade Center. Marvin is also the former director at HCC Insurance Holdings, which insured parts of the World Trade Center on 9/11. More information on this was supposed to be disclosed and never was. To date, the SEC has not revealed what they have learned. If only we could examine the debris from the World Trade Center and figure out what happened. Unfortunately, Mayor Giuliani began shipping the remains off to recycling yards overseas before investigators could even examine it. Not even FEMA was allowed into Ground Zero. Essentially, they blocked off a crime scene and destroyed all the evidence. Guess who was allowed into the site? Controlled Demolition, who was also responsible for cleaning up after the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. Regardless, I think what happened to the World Trade Center is simple enough. It was brought down in a carefully planned controlled demolition. It was a psychological attack on the American people, and it was pulled off with military precision.
The third skyscraper at the World Trade Center that was not hit inexplicably collapse. Building 7 at the World Trade Center was never hit by an airplane and had no significant fire. It was 47 stories high. It was constructed of steel. Yet at 5:30 p.m., it fell perfectly straight down into a small pile of rubble, just like a controlled demolition. Why did the Federal Emergency Management Agency lament that the specifics of the fires in World Trade Center 7 and how they caused the building to collapse remain unknown? Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder of Building 7 who collected insurance of $7 billion, is on tape saying he ordered the New York Fire Department to pull it, to destroy the building with explosives. In October of 2001, Scientific American told us that they just don't build them as tough as the World Trade Center. Considering that Meridian Plaza in Philadelphia burned fiercely for 19 hours yet never collapsed, how could the South Tower at the World Trade Center fall after burning less than 1 hour? How could the North Tower fall after burning only for 2? How could the jet fuel have caused the collapse when the Federal Emergency Management and other government agencies have stated that most of the jet fuel was gone in the initial fireball? Moreover, how could the fires have caused the collapse at all, since recent fire tests by Cardington found that a steel building survived fires and experiments with extreme temperatures beyond the range possible with jet fuel? Since the black smoke coming from the building means that the fire was oxygen-starved and could not have reached its maximum temperature of 1800 degrees Fahrenheit, and steel melts at a much higher temperature of 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit, nearly 700 degrees hotter than the maximum temperature of the fire, how could cleanup crews have found melted steel in the basements? How could, days later, NASA satellite images show hot spots in the buildings that still exceeded the maximum temperatures possible? Explosives like C4, however, create temperatures of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which easily melt steel. Why did Fire Engineering magazine tell us that no steel building has ever been destroyed by fire, that the World Trade Center investigation was a half-baked farce? Why was all of the important evidence illegally destroyed, some before the investigation began? Why was $40 million spent to investigate Clinton's sex life while only $600,000 was spent on investigating the World Trade Center fires and subsequent collapse? Why did the entire 9/11 Commission spend only $15 million while expenditures on Clinton's lies exceeded $65 million? How could the airliner's impact have caused the collapse when wind gusts from storms had at times been greater than the impact of the airliners? Neither tower was bent, nor did they creak or groan at any time. Firefighters said they seemed sound and reported that there were no fires they couldn't control. How could the building collapse at the maximum speed of gravity? Each floor hit should have slowed the fall. Just as if you drop a steel ball from the roof, it would fall faster without resistance. This couldn't have happened without explosives placed inside the structure. How could the concrete encased in a steel frame pan with two layers of carpet over it, riveted inside columns of steel beams, welded together in a network with steel bands, be pulverized? How could steel beams and clouds of finely pulverized concrete come shooting out of the buildings at hundreds of miles an hour, all the way to New Jersey? This is only possible with explosives. The buildings fell rapidly, according to the 9/11 Commission, because the bolts, rivets, and steel framework were weakened by the fire. If so, then how could the concrete be pulverized and ejected at high speed, since the force to do that is greater than the force needed to shear the weakened steel, bolts, and rivets? How could the Twin Towers fall straight down when the damage and resulting fires were only to one corner, two sides? Only the tops of the Twin Towers should have fallen, and they should have fallen over, not straight down. In fact, the top of one tower did fall over onto Building 4, so there was no building weight to crush the floors below. So what caused the collapse of those floors? How could a hijacker find and hit the Pentagon, whose flight instructor said, "I'm still to this day amazed that he could have flown into the Pentagon. He could not fly at all." How could a pilot this bad have the flight controllers comment, "The steep turn was so smooth, it's clear there was no fight for control going on"? The complex maneuver suggests the hijackers had better flying skills than many investigators first believed.
Hi friends, when it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
Today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
Hey, hey, this is Liberty Lisa. You've reached the Truth Training. Non-judicial foreclosures, where they're just taking people's homes without even giving them due process. That's wrong. It's corrupt. It's criminal. It's fraud.
The Truth Training with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio.
Better.
The cause is bigger than just me. The cause is for everyone.
You're listening to Last Voice for Liberty with the Mouth. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. This is an historic moment. When we are successful, we will be a new world order.
One and only original Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
A new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
And now, Last Voice for Liberty presents Celebrity Words of Wisdom.
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
Join us next time when Last Voice for Liberty presents Celebrity Words of Wisdom.
Hey, welcome back here, folks. Last Voice for Liberty. I'm the Mouth laughing and scratching at you. We're here in the second hour. Bring back in my good friend from the Ocelli Effect at UCY.TV, Mr. Chuck Ocelli's been joining me and holding things down while my internet got a little bit screwy there for a while. Thanks a lot, Chuck. I really appreciate that.
Well, I kind of didn't know what was going on there for a bit, Lee, but we're getting through it one way or another. Of course, we start talking about the Pentagon, and this is the way it goes, right?
Oh, that's for sure. Ladies and gentlemen...
We can't let anybody hold us hostile, Lee.
Yeah.
We just can't do that.
Can't let them hold our enemies hostile. Let them hold us hostile or our allies hostile. Whatever the hell that means.
Whether it makes sense or not.
Yeah, that's for sure. Every time I hear that,
Need a refill, Mr. Leahy?
Yeah, actually. Nice. Somebody needs to get old Mr. Leahy, George W. a refill on that one because apparently he had a few too many shots of Crown that night. Onward we go into the Pentagon discussion on 9/11. Ladies and gentlemen, this one really bugs me. Because like I was saying before, I got so rudely cut off by whoever the hell around with my internet tonight. If you look, for 30 minutes after the supposed crash of this 757, the roof is still intact for 30 minutes. Now, I'm sorry, if you don't know anything about a 757 and how tall they stand, and not only that, coming in at the angle they would have had to come in. I mean, this thing would have had to literally been on the ground before it ever even hit into the building. And the roof still be intact with that tail that high? No, I'm sorry, it's impossible. You can't tell me that a plane hit that building. You know, if it was a plane, it damn sure wasn't a 757.
Well, therein lies the problem. I give it to you from a different angle, though. Because here's the thing: if you have aircraft aluminum from that tail, it's obviously not going to crash into it at the speed that they were talking about. If it had actually, you know, hit the way they said it did, you have all these other things like the Rolls-Royce engines. You know, the cockpit is nothing. It crunches like, you know, like anything. It's now made out of what do they call that? Carbon fiber as opposed to aluminum at this point. But very, very fragile, the cockpit. But you have the whole rest of the fuselage. And here's the interesting part to me is that not only would it be a problem for that roof maintaining, you know, but let's just assume for a moment that the aircraft could have made the maneuver. Let's just assume that. And let's assume that it's actually the large aircraft we're talking about. You know, where is it? That's my question. Where is it? There is no evidence of the engines. Okay, not the Rolls-Royce engines that were supposed to be on that plane anyway. Where is the rest of the fuselage? Where is the rest of all these other mechanisms that that maintain cabin pressure, et cetera, et cetera? Where is the luggage pieces, which would have obviously been ejected from a cracking craft? Where is... I mean, how far do we have to go here? Where's the rest of it? Where's the damage to the lawn? Where is, and not only, you know, okay, the plane didn't scrape the ground, so therefore there's no damage to the lawn. Okay, fine, but you mean to tell me that the actual, I don't know if you've ever been behind a jet engine before, but you mean to tell me that it would not have disrupted the grass or anything with the type of heat and pressure that throws off flying at that low a trajectory? So completely pristine grass, no wreckage, no bodies of any kind.
the damage doesn't add up. You know, it just doesn't.
Prior to the collapse, there's a one single hole there, which doesn't seem to be able to accommodate the aircraft. What happened?
That's all we really want to know is, hey, tell us the truth. We want to know the truth. We want to know if this was actually brought on by our government, which I believe it was, in coercion with several other factors, not just our government. But why can't we – why was this so debated over, number one? And just the lack of evidence, number two, in this – we'll accept it that way. No, you don't need no evidence. It was such a sad and tragic event. We should never talk about it again. Listen to what we said.
Well, Lee, in all fairness, you know, they did give us those, what was it, 3, 4, 6 frames from the one security camera?
Oh, yeah. Because there was only one security camera that was working in Washington, D.C. that day.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, they would have only had one security camera on that side of the, you know, the one of the most guarded buildings on the planet, right?
Exactly.
And they did, after all, confiscate the stuff from the gas stations and hotels and everything else that might have shown us from a peripheral standpoint, you know, the plane's approach, et cetera, et cetera. Has any of that stuff been released, Lee?
No. And therein lies the problem. You know, I can't believe these people when they won't show us any evidence. There's no evidence that, A, supports their story, and they confiscated any other evidence that could contradict it. Released. It's probably burned.
But see, that's the wonderful thing, right? And I know everybody hates it with the JFK thing, but remember this. They still hold documents now, the CIA, on Oswald, right? Now, if Oswald is nothing but a lone nut shooter, what is the point of withholding even a single piece of paper? Meanwhile, they have at least 3,000 documents that we know of in the possession of the CIA that we know of pertaining to Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he's a lone nut, what is the point of withholding any of it? Operational concerns? National security? Well, how could it be national security if he's a lone nut? How could it be national security if it's nothing more than a plane making an approach?
Yep. It's a
same
lie.
Lie.
It's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. If it was just if Lee Harvey Oswald was just a lone nut, like you said, man, then there is no reason to withhold still more and more paperwork on this guy. I mean, this was how long ago? You know, when Kennedy was shot?
Over 50 years?
Last November, 50 years. Yeah, as a matter of fact, coming up this month, we'll have the 50th anniversary of the Warren Commission's release. It was September 24th when they handed it over to LBJ, and September 27th when they handed it out to the public, the original report, not the 26 volumes, which followed a couple of months later. But, you know, and by the way, they learned from that, because there are no additional volumes to the 9/11 Commission report, are there?
No. And I believe there should be.
Mm-hmm.
We got another caller here ready to join us. Kimberina, you are live.
Hey, Lee. It's Chuck's wife. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. You were talking about the commission report for 9/11. Just the other day, Chuck and I were watching something that they were saying that they were way too easy on Giuliani also when they were questioning him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that whole thing was a farce. I mean, it seemed to me like a dog and pony show. Like, oh, we're going to try and get to the bottom of this, and we're going to do an investigation. And when half of the commission members, the people that were in writing and doing the investigation, are walking away from it and saying, I don't want anything to do with that. You know, that they didn't give us enough time, they didn't give us enough evidence. You know, even they're calling it a farce. I still don't see how people are defending this tooth and nail. And they do. I mean, we've got plenty of vicious groups on social media, man, where these people, it's like their lot in life is to defend this report. And it's a fallacy to me.
Well, what is it going to take for them to do another investigation? Do private people have to put in their own money to form their own commission? It makes me sick.
It does, but then, you know, we've got to, it's another thing, I got to reference back to Jesse Ventura. I heard him say again in another interview with old Panic Attack Jones, and Panic Attack is like, hey, you know, do you think there should be a new independent investigation into 9/11? And he's like, I'm asking you this, would it do any good?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Depends who does it, I suppose.
Yeah, that is exactly the point here, is that, you know, we have not come up with a solution for when we have the government obfuscating over its own, you know, malfeasance. Like in the JFK assassination, yeah, we've had actually a couple of interesting investigations. We had the Warren Commission. We had the, you know, the Ramsey Clark medical investigation in the late 60s. We had the Garrison attempt to prosecute somebody that the CIA definitely blocked, and now that's provable even by their own records. You know, you have the House Select Committee in the 70s, which was a limited hangout, and then, of course, the guy who was leading that came out and co-authored a book explaining that the mafia did it. You know, and then immediately following that, yeah, after the outcry from Oliver Stone's movie, over 30 years later, we finally got the Assassination Records Review Board, which was meant to make no judgment on the case whatsoever, but to simply declassify documents relating to the case. Now, if that is the evolution that you guys are going to follow, then you know what? Get your grandchildren ready to maybe go and research the stuff that those of us that are working on it now might get released as for that process, you know, about 20, 30 years from now.
Well, it could be considered bias also if we were to have the pilots of 9/11 Truth come and do an investigation along with the architects. I mean, Chuck has had Richard Gage on his program. If we had people like that do the new investigation, that also could be considered bias. So, you know, you're probably right. Are you ever really going to get anybody to believe one side or another? They're always going to stand on the foot they stand on, whether they believe it was a conspiracy or they believe it was an inside job or, you know, we just got attacked.
Well, it definitely was a conspiracy. Either way you look at it, whether you're looking at it from the official standpoint or from just the outside, supposed theorist's standpoint, it was a conspiracy. It was carried out by multiple people. You know, so obviously this was a conspiracy right off. The thing that bugs me the most about it is that even if we've got the most upstanding people, the most righteous and truthful and knowledgeable persons involved in an investigation on that, would the evidence be presented to them? I don't think so.
Right.
It wasn't presented to the original commission, and it wasn't going to be presented to anybody else if we ever do an investigation of it again.
and that it may be, you know, 50, 60 years down the road, once all these big names around it are dead and gone, that maybe we'd get another investigation and maybe we'd get some actual truth out of it. But as long as these same people are sitting in specific and seats of power, then they're not going to we're not going to have an investigation that's going to yield us any benefits.
I couldn't get through earlier. I was having a problem with the Skype. But when you were talking about the buildings falling, do you recall the reporter from BBC talking about Building 7 collapsing and it was right behind her still?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, what the hell was that?
That was premeditated.
You know, nobody noticed?
It's the complicity of the mainstream media on an international scale, because at the end of the day, they're still all controlled by the same corporate entities. This is what the problem is. You know, so the BBC is no different than NBC or any of the other alphabets out there, ABC, CBS, CIA, CNN. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I threw that in there. Of course I did. MSNBC. Why not? Because they're all being told, they're all having their information vetted by those who are controlling the narrative.
It's a narrative.
A hysterical
how the hell do you cover up that faux pas? How do you cover that up? Oops. Oops.
But look at what they've done with it. See, this was my point to you about that when I showed it to you a long time ago, is that they will do it so bold-faced, so out in front of everybody, and still those who want to cling to the official narrative still will. That's all there is to it. You show them this, and you say, now how is it that they knew Building 7 was going to collapse if it was still standing in front of this reporter and they were just had their timing wrong? How is that? Nobody gets to ask that question because that's just a crazy conspiracy kook kind of thing to ask. That's all there is to it, right?
But it's a question that needs to be asked. I mean, it really does. And they don't have an answer for it. They'll sit there and you can call these people on it all you want. Get a call them and the BBC, call their channels, call your representatives. They don't have answers for this. None of it.
And
that's the most disturbing. Yeah, that's the most disturbing problem about it all, is that when you try to get answers out of these people about this bullshit, then I don't know. What? That's not an acceptable answer to me.
No, that's exactly the problem, and I hope we get time for Shanksville here, because how much more, how much more obvious does something have to be?
Yeah, if that's a plane crash site, then, you know, I'm Billy Ray Cyrus.
Well, I have to ask the same question. And I know you ain't Billy Ray, brother.
You're damn right. My daughter damn sure wouldn't be out acting like that.
Oh, hell no. But look.
That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, we could go on that, but let's try and stay on it a little bit. Here's the question.
Let's go here to Shanksville. Sorry for the shitty 90s country pop reference there.
Oh, that's all right. You know what? Everything is a shitty country pop reference at this point. I'm in North Carolina. That's the way it goes. But, you know, I have to ask the same question that I ask about the Pentagon. I know I'm just, you know, a crazy person who doesn't think about things critically or anything like that. But, again, I say, where is the plane?
Yeah.
Where is the rest of the plane? Where is the luggage? Where is the people? Where is the, oh my goodness, where is the plane?
Well, even the plane that got shot out of the air in the Ukraine, there's bodies everywhere. There's luggage. There's teddy bears. There's nothing. And the phone calls are really kind of weird, too. You know, hi, Mom, this is, they say their whole name. That's odd.
Like your mom's not going to know your whole name? Yeah,
right.
That's a bit muffed
up. Or even your voice?
Yeah.
I mean, I never used to speak to my mom much when she was alive, but you know what? Even if I didn't speak to her for 10 years and I called her up, I would not give her my full name.
No, I wouldn't even give her my name.
Usually it's right. Hey, it's me.
Hi, Mom. Yeah, my mom and I didn't talk for, you know, just here recently for like 6 months. And, you know, I call her up and, hey. And we've been talking again, thank God. But No, she knows my voice every time I call. Every time I call.
But even if you didn't, Lee, even if you were questioning whether she could remember you, even if you didn't speak to her in years, the worst thing you would say, or something that you would say actually, might be, you know, it's Lee.
Yeah.
It's her son. It's me. One of these things would be the option, right? If you were calling your mother.
Exactly.
You wouldn't say, hi, Mom, this is Lee Pierre.
Yep.
That's a little weird, and I understand the argument, and I do go with the argument, in fact, in a lot of cases, the debunker argument, that some of these phone calls were not cell phone calls. I understand that. Some of them were CPAC phone calls, okay? That's a possibility. That is something that occurred. But even so, these things are bizarre, all of them. You know, you listen to the way these things supposedly went down regarding especially Flight 93, which I really marveled at that movie. Did you ever see that movie, Flight 93?
No, I refused to.
All right. Well, you know, I did for a long, long time, and then suddenly I was just bored out of my mind, and that was the only DVD available, okay? And so, you know, no internet connection. I just sat there and, okay, let's see what kind of story they're telling here. And wow is all I can say about it. You know, and look, I don't want to take away from, I wanted to believe when this happened that there was a group of people that said, you know what, we're already aware that towers were slammed into. This is when I bought the official story. We're already aware that these terrorists are not playing a game where they're going to, you know, try and hijack us for ransom. They're not doing the we have a bomb on board thing and we're going to get, you know, some political prisoners released or some other nonsense. I wanted to buy all that and say to myself, these people said, screw you. You're killing us. You're just going to kill us. I wanted to believe the hero's narrative. I really did.
So did I.
But, man, still, where is the plane?
Yeah. You know, these things don't just disintegrate, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, anybody who's been anywhere and seen any type of plane crash, especially when it crashes down towards the ground like that, I mean, even in a complete nosedive, there would be something. Something.
Right.
And the pictures that they show, it wasn't a nosedive. You can see it looks like a skid.
Yeah, there's definitely a gouge in the ground, okay, from something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it was, you know, and look, if it's part of the aircraft, and if there was, you know, because at first the contention was for a little bit, and I know it's gone away now, but the contention was that maybe it was shot down, and our government just didn't want to admit during this, you know, huge mega tragedy, that we had to shoot down a civilian airliner. Now, I could go for that, except one problem. If you shoot down something with an F-15, okay, you have a much larger debris field.
Very much so.
You have much more debris.
Yeah.
So where is the debris?
That's the thing. Where is the debris? Where's the plane?
You know, and then there's the oddity, which, you know, is some sort of paperwork mistake, obviously. But, you know, some of those planes were in service after 9/11, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Explain that one.
According to the FAA's records. Now, I'm imagining, just for a moment, that if two planes were slammed into skyscrapers and absolutely obliterated to the point where they could cause fires that would cause steel reinforced cement structures to collapse, that they may not be serviceable after that date.
Yeah.
But you know, again, I'm a crazy man, Lee. You know.
It's all these oddities throughout each and every little bit of what happened on September 11, 2001. That just don't add up, ladies and gentlemen. That's why here it is, 2014. We're kicking off this week, marking the anniversary of it. They spread the propaganda and fear every year around this time. What happened in 2013? Well, the Benghazi thing in 9/11.
Well, right, and they're trying to circle this around so they can join the ISIS narrative and say, now listen, remember that, because these people are even worse. They could do more. be afraid, be very afraid, make sure we're ready, and of course you need to support military action, and the polls are reflecting it. Most of the walking wounded out there are doing exactly that. They're starting to support the idea of military action. They're believing that there is a large threat from this ISIS group.
Happening all over again. The same exact thing is happening again. They're going to somehow attack us here on, quote-unquote, our homeland, which we use now instead of America. And all the people are going to be all for going over there and beating the shit out of these people again.
Mm-hmm. Which is a bizarre thing that we saw in the mainstream just today, in fact. I know, Lee, you probably didn't catch it, but I torture myself by tuning into the mainstream stuff every once in a while just so I can get a flavor of exactly how high the lie is. And I tuned to our friend Chris Matthews there, who is making a good point, who is saying, why in the world are we using the term homeland regarding our country? Isn't this America? Isn't this the United States? Why is it the homeland? Why is it the homeland? And he's asking the question, but of course, if he was really thinking along the right lines, he would have the right answer, wouldn't he, Lee?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They want to... Go ahead, buddy.
Well, here's the deal. Homeland, why is there a homeland? Because there is an away land, because we are now dealing with the American Empire. We are not dealing with simply defending the borders and the country of the United States. We are dealing with it from a totally different perspective now. Just like the Roman Empire had outposts throughout Europe, even in places that they didn't necessarily control, but they exerted pressure through their military outposts, we do the same thing now. And I say we very, very, very guardedly, because this is not representative of what I want. This is not what I want to see for my country as it was promised to me. And, of course, in the homeland, that means we need to ratchet down our security measures just like they did. Oh, where else was that now? Wait, homeland.
Here's the question. The government is no longer the government for the people, by the people, correct? Correct.
Correct.
So why do we have to go and blow up buildings and fly airplanes into ground and blow up the Pentagon? If we're going to go to war with another country just to put our flag there, why don't we just do that? Why do we have to kill all these innocent people and make all these responders that went to help people in 9/11 who were trapped and sick cause them harm? Just go over there and do what you're going to do anyway, because it doesn't really matter what the fuck we say.
That's
because
right.
We're no longer a government for the people, by the people. So why are we playing all this bullshit game? Just go and do it.
The reason these idiots do this stuff is because they're the ones that want to profit from this, and war is money to them, okay? But they can't willingly get the people to let their children sign up for military service and just send them off to wars willy-nilly wherever they want to. They have to have public support because they know the real power lies with us. We can take them down any point in time we choose. All we have to do is unite. So if they keep us divided with not only fear, hatred, racism, the list goes down the line, religion, then at some point they can scare tactic us into being supportive of them defending us.
But is it still true? I mean, this is, again, I'm 44 years old, so things might be a little cloudy. But usually the front line of defense and battle is usually the young men that aren't quite as bright.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we have to worry about our parents sending our kids off because they're going to go anyway.
Some of them, yeah, admittedly so. But note the rise in enlistment after 9/11.
Oh, yeah, there
everybody.
Was huge. Yeah,
everybody was ready to go.
Right.
I'm going
right.
to go fight these guys. I'm going to go get them back. Because that's what, the spirit of America is, We're not trying to, a majority of the people in this country do not want to go to wars, do not want to send their kids off to die in some foreign land. They don't want to. A majority of us in this country want to just live our lives and take care of our kids and you know, not deal with no bullshit.
When you have a codifying event, when you have an event that causes people to unify behind that, you know, Chinese-made American banner, when you have that, you can now have willing accomplices, willing slaves that are willing to sacrifice themselves, you know, and that's a whole lot easier. They're happy. They think they're doing the right thing. This causes the population to unify in a way. I mean, look, you can't say that it wasn't effective in that way. There was a great sort of, you know, social reaction in the population in general in this country. And I've said it many times, I'm guilty of it. You know, I was part of that. I was part of the herd at that point, not mm-hmm. knowing that, that, you know, I was being had. You know,
exactly.
It's that simple.
Yeah, and go ahead, hon.
Well, you got we had the F-15, I think they're F-15 fighters flying over. We lived right by the bay that, you know, you could see the towers from our house. And you had the bombers and the fighter planes flying right over our house. And, you know, at the time, our four-year-old was scared to death to play outside on their swing set because these bombers are flying overhead. So, I mean, everybody was enthralled into this fear of, oh my God, you know, look at these airplanes and look at the smoke, and you got to close your windows because you can't handle the smell of the electrical burning and the concrete smoldering. And so,
yeah,
everybody's.
I mean, yeah, in addition to that, I mean, you know, the truth was, like I said, the place where I was working on that day, on that morning, I was surrounded by three military bases, but practically four military bases. And, you know, they started to roll, you know, armored vehicles onto the streets. Guards who were formerly not armed at the gates all of a sudden had M16s. You know, this was the way things were done. And, you know, like you were talking about, should you pull your kids out of school before, Lee? I mean,
yeah.
I pulled my little girl out of daycare that day, I'll tell you that much. You know, after the second plane hit, you know, it was effective. It was scary.
It was. I mean, it had us all entranced in the fear of, well, is it over? Or is it going to happen again somewhere else? I mean, you know, here I'm thinking I'm in the middle of the country, okay? And I was just watching this on television and just freaked out, you know, because you said, man, I was part of the herd back then. You know, I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to keep on going and just doing what I'm doing.
And not only that, we were confronted by the attacks in the city. We were confronted by the attack at the Pentagon, Shanksville, everything that was going on. But in addition to that, if you remember from the news reports that day, they were talking about explosions at the Capitol building. They were talking about the entire
White House
under attack, the White House being evacuated. Airplanes being in the wrong airspace, other suspect aircrafts. They had really whipped it up. There was plenty more going on besides the actual things that struck, okay,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was real or not. But they had talked about evacuating, like I said, the Capitol was the one that I remember, and I remember saying to myself, are they really trying to legitimately decapitate our government? That's what I thought was going on. And, look, that is one of the first moves before a real solid invasion. If you can create chaos and decapitate a government, and then you invade that there's no central command, what happens?
Yep, pretty easy. Yeah.
So
the problem is if that ever really were to happen, if it wasn't a planned inside job and it really was a terrorist attack, who's going to believe it? And how are we going to react to it?
Exactly.
See, that's
there
a solid question. Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, we could either, you know, react to it by cowering in fear and not knowing what to do, or by, you know, rising up. And I think rising up, I'd rather, you know, fight for my life than just
right.
Let it be subject to the whim of somebody else. to be quite honest. It's just the way I've always been. I've always been the guy that I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and can't nobody stop me. You know, and if you can, good luck. You know, but I'd rather see the country rise up at some, if something like that were to happen, where an actual decapitation of our government were to happen from an outside source. But I see it happening actually right now from the inside, slowly but surely from the inside out, and transforming it into the one world government, which I think this is a big precursor and stepping stone towards.
So oh, yeah, there's no...
You've got to scare the biggest dog in the yard if you're going to control the yard, you know?
Well, that's the thing, is I think they got tired of utilizing the American empire to disrupt everything else. We're no longer quite as useful as we once were, because the intimidation factor is no longer there. The figurehead of state that we have now is not an intimidating force at all. You know, can't even get himself together enough to even... I thought it was the most bizarre thing when he said, we don't have a strategy for dealing with ISIL. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, forget about the fact that he's calling it ISIL. Forget about the fact that we need to have a strategy for dealing with something that we created and all that kind of stuff. We'll leave all that aside just for a moment. But to actually have the leader of a nation say that he has no strategy for dealing with something that he claims to be the most important thing in the world is absolutely shooting in the head with your own revolver, your own credibility regarding yourself on the world stage. There's no two ways about it. Even if he did not have a strategy, even if he had no idea with what to do, the correct answer would have been, and again, maybe it's just because I'm not a president and I don't understand the way of things, but it seems to me that the safe and smart answer would have been, I have strategies in place. I cannot reveal them to you at this time so that I don't compromise any tactical advantage.
There you go. Bingo.
Is that really an illogical thing that he could have, you know, well, I mean, then again, I'm not a constitutional scholar that he's supposed to be, right? I mean,
he's a constitutional scholar once again. I refer you to Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, no.
Nice.
May the mullet sprout out upon me now if he's a constitutional scholar.
Yikes. I'm going to pull that ponytail really hard.
I got a few of them. But, no, this guy he's such a joke anymore, and it's so – I think that was a purposeful comment. I think it's a purposeful comment to try and make the United States look weak coming up at a time, you know, September 11th, when everybody's on heightened alert about a possible terrorist attack, pumping up this terrorist group that we created, we funded, we armed, we trained, you know. Here comes the big boogeyman. He's out there, but we don't have a plan for him yet. I think we can make him manageable. That was the other part that killed me.
Oh,
we
yeah,
can make
it
manageable. What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Well, we might be able to with the help of the Ayatollah Khomeini. You know, you notice he's supporting our action against ISIS. Okay, I don't know if you noticed that one. you know, hey, maybe we can make it manageable. I mean, I guess it's easy to manage the people that work for you. Oh, did I just say that?
One would think so.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But we do have at least another excuse to go back in and build and destroy and build and destroy, not necessarily in that order, you know, everything in another country or in the same country that we've been playing this game of Legos, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, where does
Legos.
This all... No, it's not.
It's like Duplo blocks, which are big, fat, crappy Legos.
Only the ones that you get at the yard sale where a couple of the pegs are broken off, though. Yeah.
It's incredible to me that we still are even entertaining the idea of keeping troops all in these bases. We need to close down each and every one of these bases. You want to be protected at home? Let's have our military guard in our borders. You know, if you really want to hold on to this protecting the borders and protecting this republic and keeping this a sovereign nation, then that's what needs to happen. We can't have them out fighting preemptive wars in each and every country, putting up bases all over the planet and growing this into an empire. In case anybody has never noticed throughout history, name one empire still standing today besides the American one that's now built. Guess what happens with gigantic empires, world-dominating empires like this? They fall. Eventually, they get so full and so drunk on their own power and stretch themselves so thin that it becomes real easy to beat them. And that's what we've done. We've stretched our military so thin across this planet that anybody could walk in here right now with a nuclear weapon. Anyone.
If they haven't already.
If they haven't already.
Yeah, well.
We're not being protected by our military because our government is not, like you said, it's not by the people and for the people anymore. They're not serving our interests at heart. Not at all.
You know, that's right. And that was exactly one of my next points, but. You know, let's go back to the empire thing, and I know people will take a little issue with this. I think the only one that still does stand, but by surrogacy alone, is the British Empire. That has remained in place, you know. But through military means, no military-based empire remains standing. Even, again, you know, the Roman Empire, even the Greeks, the same thing happened, essentially. You know, during their time, they were far too outstretched. You know, even Alexander the Great went too far. You know what I mean?
You don't think Tony Blair was as fucked up as Bush?
Well, I know he was.
Well, that's what I'm saying to Chuck. He's saying something about how Tony Blair was so far up George Bush's ass, all you could see were the bottom of his shoes, for God's sake.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm Tony Blair is not really part of the British Empire. He's part of the British government.
Oh, all right. Well, if we want to talk about... Okay, there is a difference. I thought we were talking about empires again.
Well, no. From a military standpoint, all Blair did was pretty much assist our empire, you know, with a little bit of cash from the real British Empire, you know, which in which case the, you know, the royal family are not exactly figureheads.
But why is it that nobody fucks with them?
Rothschilds.
Oh, yes.
Name
seems to escape me.
Yeah, you screw with the Brits and you're going to lose your banking privileges.
There you
That's
go.
That's what your problems are. So only they are allowed to attack themselves like on 7-7. Mm-hmm. So, that's the way that works.
That's exactly the way that works. You know, the Queen has to dress like a commoner and ask permission to enter the city of London.
Mm-hmm. And what does that tell you?
That should tell you a whole hell of a lot. I mean, she ain't shit. These people are nothing more than just pretty much figureheads to keep the British Empire, so to speak, at the forefront of world discussion. And yes, Britain did do the same thing. They stretched themselves out militarily throughout Africa, India, China, you know, and slowly and surely they've had to release these lands back to the people and to their countries. You know, nobody ever thought that Britain would leave Hong Kong.
No, not at all. And, of course, during all of those wonderful adventures where the British Empire spread itself, you know, throughout most of the world, you know, let us not forget that through mechanisms like opium, gee, this is going to sound familiar, through mechanisms like opium and other things associated to it, this is exactly how the fortunes were made for the people who were really in charge, which, of course, are those who hold the strings at the banks. Because at the end of the day, all of the money goes back to the house, ladies and
gentlemen.
That's
right. The game is rigged, and the house always wins.
You got it. And we've strayed away from the 9/11 thing a little bit, but I got to tell you, it all comes back to it because this is the point. they use events like this one way or another, whether it was a lie hop or a my hop or whatever it is you want to call it. I just simply look at it as an inside job either way. Mm-hmm. These events are utilized so that you now, you know, acquiesce to your slavery. This is the way it works. Now you need the protection of the man with the big stick because you're confused. You don't know why they're attacking you. You have now personalized it. You, just like, wow, I know I'm going to take a hit on this one, Lee, but, you know, I used to hear these stories about the house slaves in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the massa would be ill, the house slave, whether he was ill or not, would say that we are ill, massa. This is exactly the same mentality for those who are at or just falling in line blindly and not understanding that regardless of what the flag is, regardless of what it all is, it's all about control. It's all about who profits at the end of the day. And you know what? It ain't you, it ain't me, and it ain't anybody I've ever actually personally met, ladies and gentlemen. And that sort of means that it's nobody that would be any of us.
That's right.
So
the dream of every American having a great prosperity has been gone for a very long time. They took that away from us, hell, before I was even born.
Oh yeah, but they kept telling us it was still there. You know, very much like the monster in the closet, it still might be there.
The monster in the closet, huh?
Wow. Well, this really doesn't have anything to do with 9/11, but I'm going to throw it there anyway with a few minutes left. I wonder how Kennedy Jr. would have been as president had he not been killed, if he would have followed in his footsteps, or if the country would have been better.
I'm not at liberty to say. I didn't know his politics.
I don't know if he was as much of a puppet as, well, I guess all of them would be puppets, but I just think things would have gone a lot differently.
I think there was no way they were going to allow him to take that kind of position. This is why the strangeness of his plane crashes, as it is, in my opinion. For sure, he was aware of the idea that there were government-sponsored programs to remove people that were uncooperative in governments. He allowed Oliver Stone to make, you know, to print articles in George Magazine. I know other people have brought this up as well, but essentially stating that, you know, political assassinations are often, you know, are often the mechanism by which the money men control things, and he was right. Of course, he would have a personal interest in reopening the JFK assassination, and if he had that office ostensibly, he could have actually compelled the government to re-examine his father's murder, which I don't think anybody in the know wanted. So there's a lot of reasons, but also he would have been somebody who would have won and probably would have had, you know, the amazing audacity to believe that he was supposed to be in charge, sort of like his father. So that's how I see it anyway. The totality of his politics are really as yet unknown because very little was revealed publicly about it. We only have secondhand information from people like Mr. Blow, who is a friend of his, and a few others who were personal acquaintances of Bissett and his. But the reality is, I guarantee you he wouldn't have been the typical puppet that we're dealing with now or that we have dealt with for at least the past, well, I'll be generous and say 25 years.
Yeah, that's generous. I'll say that. I'm not sure that he would be any different than any of the rest of them, to be quite honest.
That's just
my gut feeling. I mean, these people have all been running around in these circles for a very long time, and they're all part of that same mentality that, oh, we are elite and better than these people and have the duty to govern them and or the right to govern them and things like that. And I don't think he would have been any different than what we're seeing today. To be quite honest, the whole system is nothing but lobbyists. And like Chuck said, Where's the money? Show me the money. You show me the money, mm-hmm. I'll put it in the bill. I'll push it through, you know. And that's the whole problem. Government being on the take. These people should be paid minimum friggin' wage, and that's it.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's perfectly reasonable to say that because of the system. But I guarantee you he wouldn't have been the same complicit character. I mean, that's my gut, mind you. And not because I'm one of these guys who, you know, thinks that the Kennedys are these amazing group of human beings that were, you know, set above us and all this other nonsense. It's just that if you follow the, you know, the real story about them and how they came to this country and everything else, I mean, even from the first Kennedy that arrived here, you know, you would find that these people were actually not part of the elites. So therefore, I don't see him as being completely complicit, but at the same time, could he have fought against the system and won? Well, his father didn't. So at the end of the day, it probably would have amounted to the same thing.
Well, I can't hold every Kennedy equal. You know, I mean, look at the difference in between John and Ted. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah.
Even Robert and John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which in my estimation, Bobby was actually a smarter guy and would have done a better job than his brother, in my estimation.
Seemed that way.
Yeah.
It seemed that way to me.
You know, which is why he couldn't even be allowed to approach the presidency.
Right.
Because I think there was still some power up for grabs back then. I think they took care of that after Nixon. I really do feel as though that was the last guy who had a single string in his hand.
Yeah, most likely. Man, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Once again, we got just about 5 minutes left here in the show. Thanks to Chuck and Kim both for calling in, and I really appreciate it. Getting the information out there that we've got out, and we did stray a little bit away from 9/11, ladies and gentlemen, but it's like I said before, it circles back around to it. You know, this is a major focal point in our history, you know, that traumatized a lot of people. A lot of people died because of this, and the truth of the matter has never come forward. And here we are, 13 years later, and still having to discuss this and still asking the questions that are, as of this day, unanswered. And there's no logical explanation to back them up. We need I think it's important to continue to do these shows and continue to talk about this each and every year and each and every time that we possibly can, because I don't feel that the people who died in this entire event all over the place, I don't feel that that justice is served by them by force-feeding the public a lie and fundamentally altering this country in the process.
And I really hope that you'll join me on Thursday nightly when I'm going to go over this very same topic again. And there might be some other interesting people, but I really hope that you get a chance to join me that night.
I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to do that. I'm going to be on like a million radio shows that day. So, yeah,
well,
definitely.
You know, if you can give me 10 minutes, brother, I'd appreciate it. I'll tell you that.
Every possible effort I possibly can to get there, man. That's for sure. The side of, you know, a plane flying into a building and burning it down.
Well,
I'm sorry, that wasn't funny.
Yes, it was.
It kind of was.
What I find funny, I find funny. That's fine. But yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that on Thursday night between 6 and 8 on UCY. I know you don't mind if I just plug that once. You know. Be a 9/11 show, so you know, catch up with me there, guys. If you want to jump in, that's always good too. And thanks for having me on, Lee.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. You're more than welcome each and every time we get on here and do the show. Coming up this week on Truth Emerges and NWO. As a matter of fact, once I end this show, you can jump over to NWO and check out the rest of Ladies Night tomorrow night. We will have the Truth Train here on Truth Emerges and Date Night with something. I'm not sure whether it's going to be the Constitution or Date Night with Anarchy. You never know how that discussion is going to end up going. But me and Stephanie Jazowski will be kicking it tomorrow night, Guerrilla Radio and Breaking the Oath Breakers, respectively, on Truth Emerges and NW on Wednesdays. And then 9/11 is going to be packed this Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Just all sorts of shows each and everywhere. Worldwide Resistance, all of our partner networks here in the coalition will be doing something special. I'll be jumping in with Chuck, hopefully, and get that all just going to be yapping about it and yapping about it all week long. We're also going to do a little bit talking about it on the Super Show on Friday and celebrating my brother Dennis Ford's birthday this Friday coming up, too. So lots of great shows here in the Coalition. Lots of information going to be coming out. Lots of stuff, questions that maybe you haven't asked before. If you got friends that are doubting just the slightest and any little bit about 9/11 and they want to learn more, tell them to get in touch with a lot of these shows, because that's what we're trying to put out this week. We think that the people who died in this awful planned inside job tragedy deserve justice and deserve the people who are responsible for it to be brought to it. Any
Absolutely.
Other final words there, folks, before we kick on out of here?
Just that justice needs to be served, ladies and gentlemen, and just like as in any singular murder that occurs anywhere, we are talking about thousands of people that as of yet have not received justice. They are simply victims, and I have the utmost respect for any individual who lost their life on that day, and I just want that known, that this is not out of disrespect to them. This is out of a heightened need for respect for their memory. So this is why we're going to be discussing this over the next week, and we're going to be drilling it out there. So I'm very, very happy that you had me on, and I can't wait to have you on Thursday.
Yep, we'll be kicking it, man. Well, for my wonderful guests, Chuck and Kim, I am the Mouth, folks. Tune in next week. I will not be here, or a replay will be ensued, or someone will be guest hosting. I'm still working on that. I've got some family in town. We're doing a memorial for Dad next Monday, so I won't be back. I'll be back on Friday, that's for sure, and I'll be with Chuck on Thursday night. Check it out. Oh, and I'll be here tomorrow. Stephanie, don't get mad at me. I see you there. And yep, we'll be here on NWO Truth Radio tomorrow night, date night. Other than that, folks, I'm the Mouth, and we're out.